Hey, boys and girls, you lucky, lucky devils, you got me again. This is Fishing Frank here, and Radio Fishing Law Enforcement Edition. I mean, we're going to be telling you the truth, and I'm going to tell you, you need to listen to this one. There is some shocking new stuff that's actually old stuff, but we didn't know. So pay attention to the Law Enforcement Edition on this one. And we've got FWC on the line and Robert's in the chair across me. We're going to be interviewing and talking with FWC here. And FWC, who do we have on the line here?
This is Lieutenant Michael France.
And you and I have known each other quite a while.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Back, what, 15, 20 years ago, maybe? 25?
Oh. I would say at least, yeah, it's been a long time. We have a habit of calling you up with questions where the answers are always that you, sometimes you got to come back a day or two later to figure them out, but you have been one of my best resources for information on what's legal and what's not, and we've got snook season coming up in just a little while. Now, the first question I have is, when does it officially open? You know, August 31st, you know, once you get into the nighttime and it hits midnight, is it okay to go fishing at 12:01, you know, in the morning, a.m., on September 1st?
Yes, that's when you can possess. So if you wanted to wet your line, just hope the fish doesn't bite till September 1st, 0001. Then you're good. So once that clock hits 0001, it's okay to possess one September 1st.
Okay, so you can be out fishing and have your boat in place, and you got to catch and release until, if you're out August 31st and it's upcoming till midnight, you have to catch and release until it hits midnight, and then a minute after midnight, you're into September 1st, right?
Right. It's a possession law. So once you have that snook in your hand, it needs to be after, any time after September 1st.
Okay. Now, we're going to get to possession. And I'm telling you, boys and girls, listen to this show because we're going to do this. This is your teaser because we're going to get up to this. Now, when you're snook fishing and you're going out and you do need a snook permit, right?
Yes.
All right, the snook permits now, if you buy them from us, are $10.50. If you went down to the county, I think they're $10. We get 50 cents as an agent for selling the fishing license or the permit. But they're easily obtained, or you can call a number on FWC and you can get it over the phone with a credit card. So there's a lot of different ways of getting your snook permit. They used to call them stamps because they were really cool little stamps.
Yeah, there was some. They actually had contests. People would do drawings for them. So it was a little history there.
Yeah, kind of like the duck stamps up north. People have contests, and you know, the best artist gets to be the one who does the duck stamps, and you know, gets the different things. And we used to have that for snook and lobster, where you got these cool stamps to stick on there.
Right, that's kind of a badge of honor kind of thing to have them. You know. Mm-hmm. Have a collection of them over the few years.
I did up until Hurricane Charlie. For about 4 years, I had saved a full page of lobster stamps and snook stamps. And they got ruined kind of in the hurricane, but it was part of my unusual collection of stuff, you know, owning the bait shop here all these years. Now, we've determined you're going to go out fishing for them. What if you're fishing from land and you don't pay for the license? It's a no-charge license fishing from land. Do you still need a snook permit?
Yeah. You would put that in there with it, so you would have to still buy the permit.
So that's kind of one thing. If you're a resident of Florida, you can get a saltwater license to fish from land, pier, boat, bridge, whatever have you, connected to shore, and they don't charge you for it, but you still have to pay for the snook permit. Now, my lifetime license comes included with snook permit and lobster permit, so I always have mine. But if you don't have a lifetime license, a lifetime saltwater license, you have to get that each year. It's good for one calendar year from the day you buy it. Now, if you're going to go out and catch snook, they have to bite the hook, don't they?
That's true. The only legal way to catch a snook is with hook and line, with fishing, you know, fishing pole with a hook on the end of it. No snagging, no netting. Just hook and line, no spearing.
No gigging.
Just hook and line.
Yeah, you're not allowed to gig. You're not allowed to do anything. If you see a snook, and I've done this in colder weather, where you could literally reach in the water and grab him and pull him out, you get fined for taking an illegal fish, even if you can get him with your fingers.
Yeah, that's the illegal method. So, yeah, that's a misdemeanor.
And so the same thing would hold true. You see a snook by your boat, and you take your landing net and dip them up, boom, ticket.
Yep. Court date.
Court date. Okay, court. Yeah, that's right. This is court stuff we're talking about, isn't it?
It is.
Know?
It is. Yeah, yeah.
Now, this is classified, so far what we've been talking about, what is misdemeanor? Misdemeanor means you've got to go to court over it. True?
Yep.
That's correct. Yeah,
you would
be given a court date. Right. And the judge is going to want to know about if you've had any other resource violations and kind of make a decision. It's up to him. Misdemeanors are no more than $5,000 a year in jail. That's the max. So it's up to the judge. You're going to do, I've never seen anybody get less than minimum of a court cost, and just which is basically, here you cost the judge his time, you cost the state attorney his time, you cost the officer his time. So that is just a minimum, which is I think it's about $130. So that's just the cost of being there. Now you're going to have to talk about whatever the judge decides his feelings were. If you've got any history, if you're respectful in court and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and if you're a habitual offender, it's going to be even more interesting.
Well, we had one local guy that can never fish again. They pulled his fishing license.
Right, which I think should be done.
They said, you're not allowed to fish anymore.
Yeah.
I saw, along those same lines, kind of a sidetrack real quick. We are now taking, I had another recreational guy that he couldn't get a recreational license, so I called up our licensing, and we're doing the same thing that the HMV is doing with the driver's license. So if you don't pay your child support, they don't give you the driver's license, and they won't give you a fishing license.
Oh, we've had that many times where guys come in trying to get a fishing license, and they have something else going on in their life, be it child support or this fine or that penalty, and they say, no fishing license. It's become part of the hammer of the Justice Department to get people to cough up for other stuff. Mm-hmm. Now, so, snook season, I'm not even sure. I know it opens September 1st. I think it closes in the middle of December.
Nope, December 1st.
It used to close middle of December. Now it's the 1st of December.
All right. What we've got to do, and you can talk to the bosses and let me know who I've got to go cajole or whatever you got to do to them. We want a special one-night season for New Year's Eve. Keep people off the street. When I first came to Florida, not growing up, but while the first few years, we always snook fished in the new year because snook fishing closed January 1st. It was open all through September, and we would go out and snook fish till midnight on December 31st. And what we got to get is a mini season of 6 o'clock on the 31st of December till 6 a.m. on January 1st, you know. A 12-hour window or something.
That'd be good with me as long as they are fishing. I wouldn't want to see them out drinking on the water during that time.
Yeah, but that's the whole idea, is not to be drinking, to be fishing.
Right, right. Yeah, that sounds like a good idea.
I mean, it. That's a pretty good thought.
Because that's what we used to do.
I don't know what kind of graces I have in Tallahassee, but, you know, so far they haven't asked me a whole lot, honestly.
Well, they should. You're way smarter than they are. I know we've got a few folks in Tallahassee to listen to see what I complain about them all the time, because I'm bashing Tallahassee quite a bit. FWC, if you're listening in Tallahassee, you've got a really good guy down here. Talk to Mike. Mike.
He could use a raise too, right?
He could use a raise. I'm all for that. We'll put up a petition for that, because good officers are hard to get. And, you know, and I say it almost every show, that the thing I enjoy most about FWC is how good of ambassadors you guys are on the water, in the woods. What giant cojones you guys got. I mean, the men and women of FWC, to walk around in the woods with armed people and go up to them and say, no, you can't do that. I mean, you're out in the middle of the night somewhere all by yourself. Now, there's a lot of law enforcement out there, but how many of them go out knowing the people that they're going after are armed?
Yeah, and then even to stretch it is to hide in the bushes while somebody's hunting. That could be nerve-wracking, too.
Oh, my God. I didn't even think of that. You're out there hiding in the bushes while somebody's looking for something to shoot at.
Yes.
You guys are...
Yeah.
Grande huevos, my friend. Holy cow.
Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. So, anyway, getting back into the snook stuff, we've talked, you know, you got to be in snook season, you have to have a snook permit. How do you measure a snook to make sure he's legal size? And the legal size is different on the East Coast and West Coast of Florida. Even the seasons are different.
Yeah. As far as the measurements, we still are measuring fish two different ways. I remember when I came on in the 90s, one of the commissioners told me that was going to be his main purpose of his stay, was to get fish measured either by the fork or overall, and we still have two different ways. So most of the fish are measured overall, which is the snook will fall into that category.
Now,
and
what do you mean by measured overall?
I've got a definition which I'm reading right from the every 6 months we come out with a new saltwater regulation book. This one is the one with the triple tail on it. I think it's
July of this year.
It says measured as a total length. Total length is the straight line distance from the most forward part of the head with the mouth closed, in other words, that would be the lower lip, to the farthest tip of the tail, with the tail compressed or squeezed together while the fish is laying on its side. So as we all know, the upper fin on the back sticks out just a little bit more than the lower fin. So you would just squeeze them together and use just a straight line when it's laying on its side. That would be the length. That would be how you measure it,
and
the overall length.
So you are squeezing the tail, and you bring the tail down and make the fish as long as possible. Now, I like that it's consistent, because you do that with a snook and a redfish and all that. If you have a Jack Crevel or a King Mackerel or a Spanish Mackerel, even a sheephead is considered a forked tail, isn't it?
Forked tail, right. So that would be to the fork.
So the longest part of the snout to the center of the fork of the tail.
Correct.
All right.
Yeah.
Now, here's kind of a biggie, and this is the one that is going to be highly unpopular, but before we get into that, if you're out on a charter and you hire a captain, and say there's a captain or maybe even a mate on the boat, can they keep snook as part of your bag limit? Like, if you've got two people on the boat and then you have the captain on the boat, how many snook can you keep with those three people on the boat?
You're just allowed the captain and the crew do not go into the bag limit. So if you have a captain and two passengers, then you would only be allowed the two snook.
So,
and so even if you had a crew member, his would not count also.
Now, what's funny about this is people always say, well, I got a mate on my boat. And the only way you can have a legal mate on the boat, and you can double check this, and we'll do this on the next show and see if I'm right, but they have to be on random drug testing and have a complete first aid course before they're considered to be a crew member. They cannot just be a person you say, okay, this is my mate, because if they don't have a random drug testing certificate and first aid courses, it's just a passenger on a boat. So if you got, say, a six-pack license, and you got six people on your boat, say, okay, this guy's my first mate, he's my crew, it's not true unless he has a random drug test and the first aid courses.
Right. It's a drug consortium. So he would actually, like the captain, would be enrolled in, there's four different places around here that the consortiums. So he would actually have a piece of paper saying, Bobby Joe is under my consortium. In other words, so with the random test from the crew member, the results would go to the captain, so that he would be notified that, hey, the guy's doing dope or something. So there needs to be a vessel or a conduit that results from the testing. And so the only way to do that is to have them enrolled in the consortium as well. So you're absolutely right.
Captains are required to be on the drug consortium. I've been on random drug testing for over 25 years with my captain's license, you know. But as far as I know, you're also required as a mate to have a first aid certificate. You got to be a first aid certificate and the drug test. But I could be wrong on the first aid.
Yeah, I don't know. Those two things are Coast Guard rules, I know for sure about the consortium.
Yeah, so, you know, you can't just say, hey, my buddy Joe's a mate, and he's not counting on my passenger list.
Right.
Okay, so captain and crew are not allowed to be part of the bag limit of your snook. Now, here's where we ask the question, Robert, this is really weird. you're sitting there and we haven't let you talk much. I'm sorry about that.
That's okay. I'm enjoying listening and learning.
Possession and bag limit. This is what's really going to upset people. Because now, I would say that you and I over the years have thought that if you went out, caught a snook, and you took one home and you flayed it out and you had it in the refrigerator or the freezer, you could go out the next day and get one. True or false?
That's the way I felt, but that's not the way, and now we're discussing what the law says, so I'm the next little bit is going to be discussing the law itself, what the law book says. So that what you just said is incorrect.
Okay.
This to me and to Mike as well, because when you read the letter of the law, we're not allowed to keep or have in possession more than one snook. True or false?
Yeah, you're absolutely true. If I may, it says right now we're in the Gulf region, which there's Atlantic and Gulf. So a person may not harvest or land from the Gulf region more than one snook per day. So that's, we're all, everything's good with that. Or possess in the Gulf region more than one snook.
So if you're going to follow the letter of the law, you have a snook in the freezer or in the refrigerator, filleted up at home, you cannot go out and keep another snook until you've eaten that one.
Right, yeah. So that would be the difference. If you catch one snook, go home, cook it, and it's gone, then you can go out and keep catching them as long as you only possess one at a time, as long as you keep eating them. But if you're putting them in the freezer or the refrigerator, then by the letter of the law, that's illegal.
That, to me, that was shocking. I mean, I never knew that was going to be the way. Robert, what do you think?
That's what I thought it was, but I wasn't 100%.
Yeah, I'm floored. I'm flabbergasted. You are only allowed a snook in the freezer, refrigerator, at home. Until that one is consumed, you're not allowed to take another one. It's funny. Brian was just calling me back. I called him earlier. He must be out of his classes.
Oh, he did.
Yeah, he was okay. just called while we were talking. I didn't answer the phone yet. I'll call him back here.
And okay.
I might give him a call and hit him up with this and see what he's got to say, because this is
pretty fascinating news. I mean, really, realistically, you know, it's a weird law that it does it just. I mean, I'm sure there might be other species that it applies to, but I thought I've heard something along the lines of like crappie. You're allowed your daily bag limit, but then you're allowed to possess a 2-day bag limit if you were out camping or something like that.
Right. I think this is a kind of a gender specific, as far as you know, we all, you go down to the Keys, you can bring back a couple bag limits, you know, a couple day bag limits. There's, you know, possession. Seemed like there was another one too that kind of, redfish is kind of a specific. It addresses a couple days. Reef fish, if you're on a charter, you can have a couple days limit if they have a berthing area and a galley.
So on my boat, I've got to put a bed and a stove in, so when I go out in the Gulf.
yeah, right. And then you can have a 2-day, nothing more than a 2-day. And it's only for reef fish, too.
Right. But that's kind of funny. But there has to be a sleeping space for everybody or percentage of the people. It's actually very complicated, and it's not a way where if you're a private boat owner.
There's no real sneaky way to get around it.
Yeah, you're a private boat owner listening to this, and you think you can go out and work your way around the law to get 2 days bag limit. It's not going to happen.
No, it wouldn't happen. You'd have to have a charter license, and that's not... those licenses are expensive.
Oh,
now,
yeah.
Now
the,
Brian's,
the reef,
by the way,
permits? Oh, my God.
Yeah. And by the way, Brian's just coming in on my phone now, too.
He's actually a public information officer who we're supposed to be going through, but you and I have been friends a long time, and we're pretty good about all this. So.
Sure.
Well, I'm very helpful. I mean, this is awesome information.
Yeah, I mean, I just would have never believed that the actual letter of the law says you cannot get another snook until you consume the first one. So that's shocking. That is big news. And when we're done talking, I'm going to call Brian and see what his take is on this.
Yeah, there's a lot of times that we'll try and figure out what the intent of the law is. But this one, you don't have to try and figure it out. It's written right there.
Yeah, that's strange. And like I say, so anyway, what anything else on snook that we should be going over that people need to know?
Let's see, we covered possession. What about the size limit? 28 to 33 over here on this side.
Right. Now, on the other coast, do you know what that is on the other coast? I'm not going to guess. It's I'm going to be wrong.
Let's see. Not less. 28 to 32 over there.
Yeah.
Excluding Monroe.
What I don't get is why do we... Now, the last statistics I heard from FWC was the east coast of Florida caught and released 300,000 snook a year. And they're ideal for fish going through the slot limit was 40%, and they're making anywhere from 33-34% through. They haven't yet to make the 40% golden rule mark, but they have more time to catch snook than we do, and their slot limits are different. On the west coast of Florida, we catch and release 1 million snook a year, and 50-some percent go through the slot limit, well above. I mean, 10-15% more than what the state guidelines, ideal guidelines to go through the slot limit. We're way above that and have been for years. And yet they have a longer season over there. I don't get why that would be.
Yeah, well, again, it's so far. I haven't gotten any calls.
So Tallahassee isn't telling you, calling up, saying, Mike, Lieutenant no. Mike, Lieutenant Mike, where is the, why is, yeah. How should we make these? Tallahassee needs to be calling you, buddy. I'm telling you.
Yeah, well, that's all right. I've got my own things that we deal with down here. The tarpon was a big one. I'm glad that one's kind of subsiding.
There isn't really, were you guys out in force in Boca Raton? I was only in Boca Raton Pass once this year. Were you out in Boca Raton Pass, you know, with the whole tarpon jig rules and the hook's got to be below the lead or even to the lead or whatever it was? You know?
Right, yeah, that was about, 3 years ago they came up with that different way for the jig. But yeah, we had scheduled for all the way for 3 months. So for April, May, and June, we had two shifts out there. A lot of times there was bad weather or they would only stay out there for a couple hours, but we had 2 8-hour shifts scheduled each day, April, May, and June, which was a huge burden, but that's what we had to do in order to keep everything on the even playing field.
It was so ludicrous because the guy is sitting there, and nothing to do with you or the enforcement officers, but the guys who are making the rule, I'm convinced the one guy was paid because he was sitting there holding up a jig with a ball on it and a paddle tail body saying this would not ever lure a tarpon into biting it, and holding up a soft plastic paddle tail shad and the other one saying this a fish will bite but this they won't, because they were virtually identical baits for all practical purposes, and I've never seen such a goofball thing in all my life.
I remember you and I met, I think it was the Lakeland meeting.
Yep.
When they were discussing that.
So I was it's truly one of the only times I was ever kind of let down by FWC. I don't think there's a problem with the rulings or the law. I just think there was a problem in how we got to the ruling and the law. That to me was the bad part.
Yeah.
You know,
I got to stay out of that.
So. No, you can't comment. I can. I can tell Tallahassee exactly what I think. I'm just a guy in a bait shop. I don't mean anything. I don't, you know, I'm a completely irrelevant, meaningless guy over here. Just with
an
opinion.
Well, you're a fisherman and you have an opinion. So, yeah.
But I appreciate you putting up with me and my opinions. I was, I shouldn't spout off when I'm doing shows with FWC. It just tells my listeners that it's just who I am. I can't change that.
Well, you're paying attention, too, and I appreciate that.
So, Robert, any last questions for the lieutenant?
No, not at all, actually. We think we covered that pretty good.
Do I need to come to your house here pretty soon, Robert?
Yeah, sure. You can come check my fridge if you would like.
Well, you know where he lives.
Yes, he does. You and Sam should come over and check things out.
You might want to go home and make a meal, Robert.
Obviously, I'm kidding.
I know. I appreciate it. I like it. That's what I like about you guys. You're awesome. Every time I've called you guys with some questions or problems, you guys have always answered them pretty darn good, and I appreciate it. And every time you guys stop in here and answer customers' questions is always appreciated, too.
It's so rare with law enforcement. They will come in, hang out in the store, answer questions for people, talk about fishing, tell people about stuff, and you know, if anybody knows me, you know I'm brutally honest. And the brutal honest truth is we are lucky to have FWC in Florida. The enforcement division of FWC, and you notice I'm specific, is truly remarkable group. And we thank you so much for your service. And grande huevos, big cojones, buddy. I never thought about sitting in a bush while somebody's waving around a gun. God.
If you were the one sitting in the bush, I guarantee you'd be thinking about it.
Oh, no. I am impressed, man. I am just, oh, my God. Hey, my hat's off to you. My heart goes out to you. Stay safe out there. And I guess anything else you want to throw in, Lieutenant Mike?
No, I hope everyone has a good season and keep dry. We are going to send a couple people over. We're kind of getting together with the storm over in Texas. It's not for sure, but it looks like we're going to send some people over there here coming up.
My heart goes out to them. I remember waiting for Charlie to hit, and it's, if you've lived through a tornado, you understand the aftermath. But what you don't understand is the waiting for it to hit. That's the difference between a hurricane and a tornado. They have the same damage, but you know it's coming, and they're telling you it's coming, and you know it's on the way, and that's a terrifying aspect, waiting for it to show up.
Yeah.
So anyway, well, thank you guys, and thank you for your service, and we appreciate the job you do, Lieutenant Mike, and I hate to say it, I hope you're not the one that has to go to Texas. That's, if it gets bad, that's going to be very bad.
Yeah, it's a big storm.
Big storm. So we wish all the people of Texas our best. All right, and this is Fish and Frank here in the chair. That's Robert in the chair across from me. And we got Lieutenant Mike we've been talking to from FWC. And thank you guys so much for listening to this. And what a shocking result. One snook, whether it's in your freezer or in your ice chest, you're not allowed to take another one until that one has been consumed. Wow. All right, we'll catch you on the next Radio Fishing Law Enforcement Division. Later. Bye.